This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects all of us in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. But first... This episode of Crucial Tech is brought to you by Cyber Protection Magazine. We will attend the ITSA 360 conference in Germany this year as a publication of record, and we are actively seeking sponsors. Want to reach 20,000 people in just a few days? This would be the most cost-effective means. And if you want to know why, listen to today's podcast. Welcome to Crucial Tech, folks, and today we are talking about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. I mean, politically, I think you can call me a conservative, but more traditional, because I'm concerned about actually allowing people to be who they are, and part of that is making things accessible to people who have physical limitations. Whether it be problems with their body, with their eyesight, with whatever they happen to have. And the thing is, when it comes to technology can really be very good at making it possible for the differently abled to function in society. But at the same time, it's not really designed for that. And so there's an entire industry out there that's dedicated to using technology to make it better. One of those areas where it's not quite working is in the area of cybersecurity. And we're talking today with Justin Mihoff, who is the director or chief of security for a company called Decay Software back in Virginia that is dedicated to making technology accessible to all people, regardless of their conditions. And Justin, thank you for joining us today, and let's talk about making technology accessible to more people.
So first, thank you for the opportunity, and I started at DQ about a year ago. I've been in cybersecurity for 20. It's okay.
I thought it might have been a clever word calling it Decay, but it's DQ.
If memory serves me right, the background of that is there's the double tab, I believe, or there's another thing, but I believe it also is from Digital Equality, so DQ, so Digital Equality.
Okay.
Is where I believe that originated from. But I'm giving you my background to shed light on the problem, because I'm not pointing the finger. I'm trying to help others become aware. So I've been in cybersecurity for 26 years this year, a couple months ago. And I didn't know about digital accessibility for 25 of those years. And so I want to help others become aware so there's not more me's in the world. And what DQ is doing is, just like you said, we're trying to bring digital equality to the world through our tools, and you can utilize our tools and services to help your solutions become accessible. So that's where we're going. I don't want to go. I could rip right through this, so I'll take a little bit more direction from you.
Okay, no problem. I mean, there are all kinds of areas where I know this works.
Because
digital equality isn't just about people with physical handicaps. It's also for people who are financially handicapped. I live in an area where the ability of people to reach the internet is very limited. I think we're a heavily Hispanic community in the neighborhood I live in, and 50% of the people in this neighborhood can only access the internet through their phones. They can't even afford high-speed digital access. And I'm here in the center of Silicon Valley, and that exists here, which ticks me off to no end. Yeah,
Isn't
so
that wild? Isn't
it
that, that's, yeah.
absolutely is. But when it comes to cybersecurity, and that's why, just, folks, just so you know, I have a friend who owns or runs a program called InfoSec.live, where he interviews people, CISOs and people in security about basic issues. Simon Linstedt is great guy, huge,
Awesome guy.
lots of energy, not a
Yeah.
lot of focus, but he's a great guy. And he was interviewing Justin on one of his recent programs. And I got there kind of late, so I wasn't able to really pick up on everything that was saying, but they were talking about accessibility. And I hadn't even thought about it in the area of security because 90% of keeping yourself secure on the internet just involves personal responsibility,
And
but if
awareness.
and awareness. But if you're not, you don't have good eyesight, and with my thick glasses, I have a problem with that. If you can't hear, if you can't type, there are a lot of things that you can't do that would generally help you understand what you need to do to make yourself secure. So
Right.
these people need tools to be able to do that, and that apparently is what DeQ does.
Right. So we help the websites and web applications be designed and developed to be accessible so you don't run into that issue. So I'll just give you kind of what we were talking about in that call. A lot of this starts at the security program itself. So again, prior to this, I would have said the same thing that most CISOs probably say is go to HR. Go to the compliance and go to the DE&I office, right? If you need accommodations. The problem is now that I've become aware of it, it is a huge cybersecurity problem and it actually brings risk because if you're buying security awareness training for an enterprise, let's say 50,000 people, okay, I'm pretty fair to say that a decent percentage, I'd probably say with that many people, probably close to 200 to 500 people have disabilities that could would need assistive technology at that company right now.
I think that's a conservative estimate.
Well, conservative, but they're using security awareness training, and often that training is not accessible. So they're not even able to become aware on how to keep themselves secure.
Right.
And even when let's say that, let's take that out. Let's say the training is accessible. Okay. Now the solutions that you're teaching them about in the security awareness training also need to be accessible. Your password managers, your SFTPs, the different solutions that you give to anyone in your company daily. We need to start using user feedbacks for what solutions we give to our people so we can make sure that we are covering them. And that's a great way to find out if it is accessible because you don't have to directly ask. You just have to say, hey, we just rolled out this new tool. It's been, a few months. We would love your feedback if you're having any issues with the tool. I don't think that some teams do that, but I don't think it's as common as practice as we should be doing. I also don't think those solutions are tested with the proper user test base that true gives a better feel for the base of the company. So put a call out like we have a new tool. Would you like to be part of the user testing so that you ensure that this tool works for you? You'd be amazed on how many people will volunteer because they really want this stuff to work for them. They want to work.
Yep.
But then here's the other thing. So if we can't the security awareness training isn't accessible and the solutions aren't accessible. And I'll give an example. So if I'm supposed to go to a login page and I was told in my security awareness awareness that I need to make sure one that the website is secure. Well, now I believe most web browsers have this, but in the past, the little lock icon
Yeah.
did not have alt text. So how are they supposed to check to see if they're secure? So now they have to go learn how to find the certificate, right? How many people in your organization know how to read a security certificate?
Well, I think it's fair to say that it doesn't matter what your physical condition is.
Right.
90% of the people in the world don't know how to find that.
No, right. So it gets even worse. So then let's say that they found it, they know that it's secure, but they're, now they're trying to log in. So they're using a screen reader in this example, and they're, it's going down the page, and it's like, I cannot find where the freaking login is. Because commonly now, it's not always on the left or outside of the login element, like where you would actually put in your password. It's baked in where it says like password or dots, right?
Yeah.
And nothing on the left. So a screen reader doesn't even, your user doesn't even know where to log in. So now they have to ask a family member, a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, utilizing technology on the internet to have someone look at their screen or utilize their camera and tell them where to put their password. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah.
We've completely broken the trust.
Does multi-factor authentication help with that?
It can. Passwordless would work as well, but then also the problem with passwordless is you need biometrics. Now, yes, that might be a smaller population, but if you don't have the biometrics to provide, how can you use that technology?
Yeah, if you don't have hands, you can't.
Or eyes.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yep.
So.
And that's just the users. It gets worse. It gets worse. So. Our industry, and I love our industry, but let's be real. Yeah. We are saying that we're being more diverse and inclusive. I think that's fair to say. And we've made a lot of strides in that. And I'm not trying to take away from that. The accessibility community is completely overlooked.
Yeah.
So I'll give an example. There's a student from the University of Cincinnati that was in an IT program, and she wanted to get into cybersecurity. So she signed up for a digital forensics class. She's a screen reader user. She couldn't even start day one because not one of the tools in that industry is accessible to date.
Maybe you should break in here and describe what a screen reader is. I know what it is, but we need
to. Perfect. So a screen reader, there's two that I know of. There's a JAWS screen reader and there's an NDVA screen reader. So what it allows a user to do is look at your website without sight. It uses audio. And the only way that it'll work is if you build the application to give images alt text, allow different elements in what you build to be readable by the screen reader. It needs to be able to be read hierarchically. So if you don't code the site to go from top down and go naturally down, then the screen reader is going to bounce from the home tab to paragraph 3 to the legal part at the bottom all the way up to the login page. And then if you didn't turn the refresh off, give more time, they're going to get all the way down. Oh, they're almost done with the page, and then it's going to put them all the way back up and start from the beginning. And remember, this is all in audio, and they're not listening to it in the speed that you and I at 1x. They're listening to it at 22x or more sometimes. So that's another common thing I think people think is, well, I can't make this tool. There's no way that someone can get around this without seeing it. You would be amazed.
Yeah, I was. I just finished watching a series on, or actually binging on a series called Ragnarok, which was.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that?
I think I've heard of it.
Okay, I really recommend it. It's a little bit slow going, but, and I won't get into the plot, but the main character is severely dyslexic.
Okay.
So he's a high school student. And in order to do his work, he needs a screen reader to read all of his texts.
There we go. And
he needs to vocally write. So he speaks into the computer.
That's awesome.
And writes what he has to say. But I noticed it took a very long time to do that. And one of the things I was wondering about is, do screen readers also read PDFs?
Yes, as long
Okay.
as the PDF is made accessible.
Okay, so it isn't naturally, because
It
that first.
should be, it should be, it should be, but you still need to test it because often the elements that you put into the document are not. So if
Yeah,
you're providing images or tables,
well, maybe the good news is because using a PDF rather than text is a common practice for phishers,
okay.
looking to grab information. And if you don't make that accessible, then maybe it's good for security if you can't actually read what they're saying, or if people don't know what it's saying and click on it anyway, then they're screwed. But
See, can I give my train of thought?
sure.
I think if they're trained, I think people a screen reader users should be the hardest to get past for phishing.
Yeah.
Because they're literally relying on plain text. So the whole hidden URLs and everything should be irrelevant to them. The only thing they need to understand is what a bad URL sounds like, right?
Okay.
Because for me, and this is my own personal choice, but when I was using Outlook, because I'm using Chrome now, but when I was using Outlook, and I think I use it in Chrome as well, I put it in plain text. I don't even allow images to load because I don't want to be tricked. And if you think about it, if a screen reader, like most of the images don't even have alt text, so they're not going to see it at all.
Yeah.
So getting my goal is hopefully these phishing testing tools start including and making things accessible so we can see if I'm right, because I'm pretty confident. I'm almost tempted, and I want to try to start learning how to use a screen reader myself, because I want to see if I can sniff out better, see the email differently if I'm hearing it.
You just taught me something that I'm going to have to send around to the team. Whenever we're putting images into our articles,
Yes.
there's always that little box on the WordPress site that says
All text.
alt text. And I, until this particular moment, I haven't understood what the hell that's for.
Yeah.
And I have been putting stuff into it. I don't know what this is, but I just realized everything that I've been putting into that means absolutely nothing to someone who would be reading this, who couldn't see it.
Right.
So I have learned something very valuable today. Thank you for that.
Of course.
I'm going to be
Of
changing
course.
some practices here.
And stay in contact with me too, so I don't take away from the talk. But there's also some deep etiquette to know about alt text, because you don't want to be too descriptive. Like you want to be descriptive so they understand what the image is, but you get what it like. Also, part of accessibility is cognitive. So if you're giving them a full paragraph, like it depends on who's reading that. Are they going to even know what that means?
Okay, that's another good lesson. That basic KISS principle.
Right, because I'm even having to do it with my policies, right? Because information security innately is kind of a difficult thing for most people. Like the basics, understanding of keeping things good, secure, but the actual policy language is generally unreadable if you think about it. Like for a mass, like you have to know certain terms and understand certain things to truly read and understand a security policy on how it's written. So what I'm trying to do is make sure that each section has like a cognitive summary of what the heck did I just read, or what am I about to read?
Yeah.
Because if I'm giving a policy to 50,000 people, are all 50,000 people truly going to understand that policy the way that it's written? I challenge you that it's not anyone's policy, because I doubt that they've made it to like a lower grade level at least, or at least, try to make some adjustments so that it could be more widely read, because you're asking everyone to read it and understand it. But let's be real, they'll go like this, or they'll read it, they'll listen to it, they'll find where the end is. Okay, I read it, done, and didn't read anything.
Okay.
Like, we're also you're also combating about that as well in any security program.
So let me ask this. How's business?
OTQ? Good. Yeah. Good. And I think doing these talks will help us because I'm coining this. My company has not said this, but I believe we are a conscious capitalist company. We're trying to do good by still being a business. We're trying to bring digital equality. So it's a little bit different of a sell, right? I feel a lot more confident talking about this because DQ is going to help cybersecurity become accessible. Now, I believe that.
Do you have many competitors?
Yes, we have competitors.
Well, many. I mean, I'll probably call up my buddy Richard Steinen and said, "Are you following the trend for security accessibility?"
It's new. It's fairly new.
And I'm pretty sure he has a comprehensive list of the companies who are involved. He's pretty good at that.
That's awesome.
But it's a good area to be looking into. And I think I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this. You know, I'll put out the podcast probably this week, but I think it's worth some deeper study.
Right.
Where do you find most of your customers coming from? Good question.
I'm not as so completely forward on the sales portion, but I believe I would say banking, government, which covers healthcare, and that I would say those two. I believe, and I'm wanting cybersecurity to be the next one because I think it's completely untapped. Because we can't even get into we can't even allow people into the industry until the tools are made accessible. Because if they can't be used by a screen reader user, then they can't. All this talk about making our field inclusive is not including people with accessibility needs.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And it has to change in the schools.
Okay.
The colleges, the workshop. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. The thing is, I was specifically asking about how's business in the cybersecurity industry. And you've just told me that. The tools that DQ is making is not necessarily specifically for cybersecurity.
It's for any web app or any web-based tool like digital.
Are you making much headway into education?
Yes. And we are working with some cybersecurity companies. I'm just hoping to go after more.
Yeah,
that's my goal.
My wife is a retired teacher after 40 years, and she was specifically working with dyslexics for about the last half of her
life. That's awesome.
And as I said, watching that show Ragnarok really brought home the issues that people have with that. And I'm glad to hear, because you know, it's probably, as disabilities go, and I tell you, people in the dyslexic community hate to call dyslexia a disability, because
right.
The people with dyslexia, and my son is one of them, are incredibly bright people.
Right.
They just
because it's seen negatively. Right. It's not seen as a, like, we're all different. We all communicate differently. We have different things that we capable yeah. like. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Well, it's because we don't understand those people because they're smarter than we are.
No, I don't understand. I don't understand why people have been put into that. Like, how many brilliant people do we know have dyslexia? Like, there's plenty. Like,
yeah,
it's not. Yeah.
Albert Einstein, one of the most famous ones.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay. So this has been great, Justin. I really am happy to hear this work is being done. And if you have anything else that you think we need to know, just let me know.
Yes, I have two things.
Okay,
I would love to talk about. So the biggest thing that I hope that we can get from this interview is NIST just put out the initial public draft of the NIST SP 800-50R1, and it's the Building Cybersecurity Privacy Learning Programs program. We need to make comments that are due by October 27th that include accessibility. The document currently does not. It says everyone in the company needs to be getting the training, and I agree, but when everyone is commonly stated, that's not always the case.
Right. So that's one.
That's one. And then there is cyber.org. They try to push cybersecurity in the education systems. They have a project called Project Access that I would encourage people to sign up for to help with, because I believe they are trying to make sure that children through K through 12 with accessibility needs can also learn about cybersecurity. So I want to promote that as well.
Okay, well, that'll be right at the top of the show notes, because amazingly enough, we have a lot of educators in our audience. I mean, one of my favorite comments I got was from a teacher in Illinois who said that the things they've learned from Cyber Protection Magazine and our podcast actually stopped a couple of cyber attacks.
That's just so cool. At the school. That's
yeah,
awesome.
At the school. Because the administrators, or actually the secretaries, were able to recognize a phishing attack.
Wow.
Based on what you've written to them.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, and so it's, and because of my background with my wife, it's a big
right.
issue for me. Okay,
with
so
education.
Folks, just to wrap up, there are tools to make cybersecurity and the and digital tools accessible. You could look it up at a company called DQ.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, DQ.com. There are other companies out there. There are organizations that are trying to work for this, specifically cyber.org, who's got that project access
Yep.
access to make it available for everyone. This is an important issue because the numbers that Justin gave us earlier about the number of people that have a problem accessing the internet, it's a lot bigger than he said it was. He was being
yeah, yeah.
very conservative.
Yeah.
I would think it'd be conservative just to say that 20% of the population have this problem, because at least 10%
right.
of the population are dyslexic, and that's not
yep.
counting people who are blind or
fair.
Who are deaf or who don't.
No,
have
that's
hands.
Fair.
So,
now I do feel like I was being a little conservative. Maybe I need to change that up.
Yeah, so this is an important issue, folks. And thanks for joining us, Justin. I really appreciate the work you're doing. Okay, folks, that's it for Cyber Protection Magazine this week. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at cyberprotectionmagazine.com. We will get back to you as soon as we can, as long as you're not obscene or obnoxious. And remember to check the show notes for those links. This is your chance to get involved in a very important issue. I know 1 in 5 of you out there are affected by this, or know somebody who is. So get involved. Go to the NIST site, go to the cyber.org site, and put in your comments, and we can make the world better for everyone if we all get involved. So that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. This has been a Foot Washer Media production.